Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex.
Whoa.
It's the Apropos
right
Nothing Podcast.
It. All right, fucker.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we
Holy
are.
Holy shit, we fucking nailed that, you guys.
I know, right?
Yeah!
Boom. So
Suck
we.
It.
We are in episode 2 of our new experiment with James as
for
the
science?
Replacement of that guy that we don't remember his name anymore. He's
Max or
Matt. May he rest in peace. James, pour that. Okay.
Oh yeah.
We need.
Oh, just need a touch for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're now the bitch.
Yeah,
I think
you're the booze bitch now. You're in that number 2 spot. We are drinking.
He's number 2.
We are drinking scotch.
Oh,
scotch that was brought to us by the lovely and talented CD Scotchbringer.
Yay!
Woo!
James, tell us what we're drinking.
We are drinking Tullibardine Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, 228 Burgundy Finish.
Ooh.
Distilled and bottled in Scotland.
I didn't know a finish could have a color.
A delightful ruby color to the whiskey follows this vanilla, light chocolate flavors, and creamy richness, and hints of red summer fruit. They could use a fucking comma.
All right. Well, I'm going to do this.
Elliot.
That's lighter than I was expecting.
Hmm? Oh, my God, yes.
That's
very.
That is very fruity.
That is. This is delightful.
Wow.
Hmm.
That's almost like a...
I feel like I'm not quite
It's almost like a dessert
anchored.
Wine, even though it's a scotch.
Right.
Yeah, if you had handed this to me and said, what kind of booze is it, I would not have immediately said scotch.
I might have said, like, sherry.
Well, it's got a little bit of the lightness to it.
Mm.
The what I consider, like, the nail polish remover poof.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not at all what it tastes like, but it's kind of that
kind of that
poof.
Acetone flavor.
Yeah. So it's got, like, just a touch of it. But there isn't anything that I feel like is holding it down.
It reminds
so
me
it
a
is
lot,
very desserty to me.
It reminds me a lot more of a bourbon than a scotch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mmm.
Oh, it's quite tasty.
It's very good.
We are recording much later than we were expecting to.
First we were expecting to record late, and then we weren't expecting to record late. Now we're... Now we're recording.
Yeah,
late.
Now we are recording. So. Late.
Through a strange set of circumstances, but we are recording now, and people have done stuff. So, Jenna, what you been up to?
Why do you start with me? You
okay,
fucking
James,
asshole.
What are you been up to?
Thank you
so much.
Awesome.
So much. I've been making armor for one.
It's so fantastic.
That's good.
Yes, I can almost talk about why, but suffice it to say that I've been crafting armor
so close.
From scratch, basically. Just I'll have photos up on my Facebook
like
and
what
stuff.
What kind of armor?
Well, I'm starting with a breastplate, the
like Kevlar body the bullet armor or
plate
or
steel plate
steel
armor.
Plate armor. Okay.
Yes, and it's I don't know if you guys knew this about smithing, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
I just
have you seen my helm?
Minecraft led me astray. I did not know. That this was going to be work. I thought it was going to be all fun and lollipops, but
oh, you're
no,
adorable.
It's all forearm
James.
Strain and sore fingers.
Oh, that's super cute.
That is a beautiful helm.
Yeah. No, that...
Ladies and gentlemen, Salsa just whipped out his helm.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's working.
Well, we've seen that
now.
Rounded
on the end, and it's got a big head.
Yep.
Actually, it doesn't. I have a very tiny head.
Ribbing.
Well, it's very tall.
Yes, it is quite tall.
It is much taller
it's
than
mostly,
I expected.
It's mostly big around.
It
has a girth.
It's got a
the
small head,
part.
But it's got pretty good length.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I mean, it's it's decent. I would say it's average.
Maybe slightly above average.
Slightly.
Slightly.
So you've been making armor for reasons that you cannot tell us why. So.
Right.
Correct.
I suppose we won't
yet.
Linger
yet,
on
but
that.
Soon.
Unless there's something
but soon, and for the rest of your lives. Yes.
Anything about the process, like?
Yes.
Are you learning things?
I am. I'm using a stump with a
Who
different.
Who's teaching you, if I may?
I can't say one person.
Okay, that's fine.
But a gentleman by the name of Michael. Is assisting me and providing the stump and the training, and it's just a little tree stump with two different hollows, one at either end, for a different amount of refinement in the denting. process. So, and then a couple of different anvil attachments and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic, but also very tiring. And the thing is, it's not tiring in the way that I thought it would be. It's not like upper arm tiring or even like forearm finger muscles tiring. It's the fingers themselves. Yep. Like holding onto a chainsaw makes your fingers feel numb and tired and sore. That's the kind of tired
that I'm getting.
Well, the
hammer is really heavy and there's little vibrations. And,
right. And it's primarily the vibrations through the metal and through the hammer because you're holding onto the piece as you're working. Mm-hmm. And that becomes exhausting.
Yeah.
So, but I'm super enthused, not only because I'm terribly excited about this project that I'm going to be doing, but also because I have always wanted armor. And I've always wanted to make armor.
Like, okay, so when you were like 5, did you grab a stick and just start like beating down weeds and attacking trees and shit?
Yes, also this year. Also, every year that I've been alive, always. Yep. Since I could walk, I'm pretty sure I've been doing
did
that.
Did you slay dragons?
Yes. And one of my first Halloween costumes was Sir George.
Oh my god, yay!
And they made my sister dress as the dragon.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh my god, that's delightful. Yes.
So, when I was in Russia, we always took photos in front of the statues so that they would be personal. It's not just a photo of a statue somewhere that means nothing.
They were selfies.
It's a photo of you. And before selfies were really... Because cell phone cameras sucked ass.
Selfie. It was more of a... tourist.
Right.
Yeah, you actually asked somebody walking by to, would you take a picture? Yeah.
Yeah, and they looked at you like you were crazy. And then.
Just that they? Fucking statue.
Well, I mean, they kind of. Maybe it was just because I looked crazy.
Probably that.
That could be. But they. Getting a picture of yourself in front of something was not.
This is, here's the thing.
Okay.
Asking a random person, hey, would you take a picture of me and my wife in front of this thing?
Yeah.
Apparently is perfectly acceptable. But taking the picture yourself at arm's length is somehow selfish. Discuss.
Sense of community?
It's also a matter of...
What is the difference?
No. If it's a picture of you and someone else, then it's not.
Okay.
But if it's a picture of... But if it's a picture of... Like, you are taking a picture of yourself... Mm-hmm. And you are not involving another person?
When I was living in Europe there and traveling through Italy, I would be just like, the Trevi Fountain. Hey, excuse me, would you take a picture in front of me in front of the Trevi Fountain? You know, that apparently... people are like, well, that's fine, but if I were to hold my camera out at arm's length and take the picture myself, that would be bad?
Well, and I think it's because when you're doing the selfie, you are saying no one else can be trusted...
Right, and that's
take
where
this
I'm
photo
going
of
back
me.
To my community.
I'm not involving anyone in this. This is purely for me, by me, because I'm the only person good enough to be in the photo and to take the photo.
It's kind of like the asshole that writes his own scripts, produces, directs, and stars in it.
Yeah, I love Duck Washington.
That guy. I directed his show.
Oh, that's true. That is true. That's fair.
Anyway,
all right.
Sorry, complete tangent.
No.
To be fair, I have also... Yeah. Yeah. Written, produced, directed, and starred in my own show. So I'm not like negating that.
One-woman show, yes.
It's a one-woman show. I still should have gotten a director, but that's cool.
Yeah. Anyway,
Doc's smarter than I am, surprise. Oh, yeah.
Nobody's arguing
right,
that.
No, yeah.
I'm nodding silently in front of the microphone, yeah. There is a statue of Sir George in St. Petersburg, and I got a picture in front of that. And that was super meaningful. And the first person that I showed it to was my sister. Mm-hmm. Because I missed my family terribly.
Have you been to George and the Dragon?
No.
Oh.
No, I have
Asian
not.
Asian hangover. Have you had the Asian hangover at George and the Dragon?
I haven't, no.
It's the best thing ever.
Is it? Really?
Yeah, fuck yeah. All right. AON field trip.
Yeah, woo! We're going to go to George. Yeah. George and the Dragon is
Let's make a day of it and also hit Moscow on the hill.
Is it on the other end of the city.
I'm fine with that.
Other end of the city. So it's over by my place.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like 8 blocks away from my place.
Yeah.
So.
It's not any Edina, but it's damn close to the border.
Yeah, it's right in my tiny little corner of, kind of Edina, kind of Ridgefield, but still Minneapolis, technically.
Yep.
But yeah, little pub called George and the Dragon. I have a shirt.
Mm. Neat.
I don't have a
actually
shirt.
How I found out about the place is Raiderly came home. Raiderly came home from Goodwill or something like that.
Oh.
With some shirt. She
and you were like, this is in this is around us.
Well, no,
we should go there.
Every so often, my wife goes to Goodwill or something and finds nerdy shirts for me to wear to work.
Yeah.
You know, a Pac-Man shirt or an Indiana Jones shirt or whatever, something that she thinks I'll find interesting. And
she's not
because
wrong.
I work a tech job, I can wear nerdy shirts to work. And one day she came home with. No, that's
just
because I work from home, I can wear pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. But. She came home with this George and the Dragon, and her sister actually said, oh, yeah, that shirt's from this pub just down the road.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
And then yeah. No, you got to go. You got to get the Asian Hangover.
All right.
I will do the Asian Hangover then.
It's
I've just gone in and had a
fancy pint. Rice and eggs and green beans and pull apart, like, steak type stuff. It's it is,
this is
the most incredible thing ever.
Forbidden donut.
Sacrilegious.
Okay, so if we ever do, so Katie, when you show up and we have
AONCon,
we have AONCon, we'll do drinks at Moscow, and then we will head over and we'll have Asian Hangover.
Yep.
At George and the Dragon,
we'll celebrate your working lungs by destroying your liver.
Indeed,
that's
you know, the liver is the easiest organ to replace, and she's already done this once.
Yeah,
so she's fine. Mm,
she'll be fine.
She's
no,
fine.
That offer still stands.
By the time that her liver is gone, they'll just be able to like drop a pill in through a needle, and it will just grow like a chia pet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the liver is the only human organ that regenerates. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You can take a third.
You do the thing that you do with potatoes.
Where you cut
both halves and you stick them both into the dirt, and then they grow
the
two whole potatoes.
Here is if you keep replacing parts of Katie. Up at what point is it not Katie anymore?
Oh, is this like the ship thing that we were talking about last week?
Yeah.
See, I kind of pay attention during our podcast.
And the answer is fourth dimensionally, yes. Por que no los dos? Okay. Good.
No. It's like Fast Five. You got to pick one.
Oh. Shit. Pourquoi pas le dieu? So was immediately after going to breakfast in the hotel lobby the Hotel Moscow, where someone was playing Clair de Lune, which is one of my sister's favorite pieces to play on the piano. And so I was instantly homesick, desperately homesick, and missed my sister. And then seeing that statue and getting the picture of it and being excited, it was wonderful.
Very neat.
So, but I've wanted armor always. My entire life. So this is deeply exciting for that reason, but also because the comedy potential of the thing that is about to happen.
It's going to be great.
I'm so tremendously excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
There is that.
So excited.
I also tried Oculus Rift for the first time.
Really? Did you get nauseated?
No, here's the weird thing. While I was inside it, I adapted very quickly to it. I was passing things hand to hand. I picked things up with my left hand, which you can do.
Yeah.
You can do.
You know what?
It's
Pause.
Amazing.
Explain this to the listeners.
Okay, so an Oculus Rift is virtual reality like we wanted it to be in the 90s, but couldn't possibly power in the 90s. A set of goggles completely obscure the outside world, broadcast an image from a very high definition screen that is fed by a computer. The computer tracks your location in space and the location of your hands, which have little aerial joystick antenna things.
Yep.
And it allows you to interact in very like weirdly complex ways with the virtual world that actually exists in three-dimensional space within your home. You just create this little alternate pocket, but you'll still bump into your coffee table and things like that. So it's very important that you set things up carefully. At some point, I was over at Charles' place trying this out, and I was like, "What? It's licking me. It's the dog." Okay, all right. So I was like, "I can't see you."
What was the Super Hot? Is that the game you played?
No, I played Robo Recall.
Oh, okay.
Robo Recall is amazing.
All of the people that I have heard that have ever done it, like Super Hot is the game.
I did not play that. I played a horror game which was mostly jump scares.
Okay.
And kind of disappointing in that way.
Is that the one where like the monsters are getting closer and you have to fight them off?
No, in this case you are stuck in bed. Like, you can't move from the bed, but you can look around and you can try to reach out to things. You can see your hands and things like that, which is weird. In the like, being able to see your hands as represented in three-dimensional space virtually, not your real hands, but the hands that you use to interact with this world. And this is comes into play. As you move your fingers around, you don't even have to push the buttons. It just knows where your fingers are on the controller.
What?
So as you move your thumb from button to button, it moves your virtual thumb in front of you. And when you lift your pointer fingers off of the pointer triggers, your fingers in the game extend out. And you can do this individually with your fingers. So you have refined control. You can actually hold things between your thumb and forefinger. You can pinch things between like your pointer and your middle finger, things like that. Like there's refined control, and you learn how to position your thumb on the control surfaces in addition to pushing buttons and using joysticks and things like that. But no matter what you're touching on the joystick, it knows where you're touching or that you aren't touching, and positions the fingers of the virtual hand in that way. So much to the point where my watch went off. My watch has my notifications and things like that, and I turned my virtual hand over to look for my watch and understood that it should be there and that I can't see it.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, it was really a good immersion.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, but like, so much so that like Mr. Bear picked up a little virtual, like 1980s. A little virtual 1980s laser pistol thing and tossed it from hand to hand in the game. And we watched him like do this as he decided, you know, how to interact with this thing, and then fumble it and drop it and then pick it back up again.
Wow.
And it was incredible the way that you can interact with these things. And the problem for me is that the hands, there's something not that doesn't match my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's the size of the hands or distance from the body. While I was in, everything seemed completely normal. And as a matter of fact, in Robo Recall, you do things like grab handles on robots and tear them apart limb from limb. You shoot them. You stab them.
I've got such a boner right now.
Blow them up with big shotguns and you catch the bullets out of midair and throw them back and hit them with their own bullets from midair. It's a John Woo film that you are immersed in.
Yeah.
And it is actually like, it's kind of a horror game because it's an action survival game.
Have you seen footage of Super Hot?
I think I so, okay. actually.
I feel like
that
Super
might be
Hot
something
is a
to
game
do on the break.
You would really love.
So,
because we haven't had enough things to do.
Right.
Jesus.
Anyway, go ahead.
But after I got out of the gear and everything like that, sat down on the couch, and I'm feeling fine. I'm not getting the proprioception thing that you get when you play Mirror's Edge, where the representation of your body, because the representation of my body was good.
It was so good, yeah.
Yeah. Except that if I paid attention to what I was doing with my hands while I was trying to use my phone, I couldn't operate my phone anymore. Because I was trying to use the joysticks to move my thumbs and pointers and things like that. I was trying to still use the controllers to move my hands.
You were using controllers instead of your hands.
And also, like, the depth was weird for me because I think the hands inside that game are smaller than my hands. So the distance to things and when I grab things...
Welcome to my world.
Right. And so I was like tapping the screen before I meant to on the phone, and I started to feel seasick. I started like I had a hangover.
Oh my God.
That I had to come down from over the process of like an hour to an hour and a half.
Oh wow.
Just and I felt a little bit sick because my hands didn't work.
Oh God, that would freak me out.
But I guess it's something that you overcome, something that you get
used to
the switch between those things. But that that game and Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I have actually played that one.
Those are fantastic.
Because we got the like little clip things. It wasn't like super great or anything. But yeah, no, I've played that. That's for somebody with anxiety. Buddy. I played it twice and they're like, let's play again. I'm like, you guys can play again.
You guys have a great time. Yeah.
I know where my limit is. Thank you very much.
God, we should play Space Team again.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Oculus Rift, it's fantastic. I was so enthusiastic about virtual reality in the early 90s during the reboot era. And then we kind of went, oh, that's so impractical and dumb and nobody wants it. And it's just a fad and everything like that. Up to and including last year where I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of a fad. And, you know, why is it that much better? It's better. It is much better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Barry sent videos, Mr. Bear. Good. Sent videos of him, like, he was on a school playground in Robo Recall, defending
rending robots from limb.
And the best part was that he was on a basketball court, so occasionally he would like rip off a head or something and toss it into the hoop.
Oh my God, yes.
Meanwhile, there's some parents like, don't go over there, kids.
Yeah, just stand back. He's very busy right now. But yeah, the whole point of Robo Recall is it's very much like iRobot from the early 2000s, where these complex Nexus 6 style robots have gone rampant and are attacking. And it is your job as a recall agent to
destroy them,
clean that up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So
cool.
Yeah. So that it was also fantastic. And then I'm super, super pumped for Fringe. I talked about it a little bit, but I went to the...
Do we
want to
do second segment of Fringe?
Yeah, let's do a Fringe later.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's a lot, and I've been talking for a while.
Do you want to go next, or do you want to take a little longer?
I can go next.
Okay.
So, things that I did include, but are not limited to... Aha, I understand James's weird hand motions. It's not a jerking off one, oddly enough. So,
Yet.
Anyway, I had a previous guest, Bryn, over at my place for a couple days, hanging out, chilling. Mm-hmm. She was working in my neck of the woods. She gets
all cool?
Yeah, she gets certain...
Shooting some b-ball?
Outside of school. Okay, but she gets, work assignments. Yes. Okay, now I'm picturing that, and that's amazing. Can you picture, adorable little Bryn doing this?
The best part is that iRobot from the early 2000s starred Will Smith.
Mm.
It's all full circle.
Yep.
Hakuna Matata. So she was over for a couple days because she was working in my neck of the woods. She gets, weekly assignments at different locations. So to skip the commute from, bloody fuck-ass wherever the hell
my neighborhood.
Lives. Yeah, sucker. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she spent a couple nights at my place, and we did all sorts of girly things, but...
To braid each other's hair?
We did not, although
paint each other's nails?
No, we drank wine.
Okay.
And talked about all of the things
ever. And talked about weapons.
Also that, yes.
Because all of the girls I know talk about weapons.
I mean...
That's because they know you.
I did meet her through Human Combat Chess.
I know.
There was
the definition of girly.
There was some of that.
Is not a
wine
set
and weapons.
Thing.
I think I like this definition of girly much better.
Agree. Yeah,
100% behind it. But we also went to go see a play.
Oh.
We saw it's a musical. State Fair.
Oh yeah, yeah. Our state fair.
Yes,
state.
That one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yes. So we saw this, and it was pretty. She had a couple of friends that were in it, and it was up north community theater type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really well done.
Nice.
I knew nothing about it going in.
Oh.
So I was like, oh yay! I like Rodgers and Hammerstein. This is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Where they get the tasting judge all drunk.
Oh my God, their drunk tasting judge was fucking amazing. He just walked around, in a couple of other scenes afterwards with the crotch.
With
everyone,
the mincemeat?
Yeah. Their mincemeat was in, this crock, basically. Yeah, yeah. And he just walked around, a couple of other scenes,
delightful.
They wove him through.
That's
and
delightful.
It was amazing. It was amazing. But the best part, and he was great. Don't get me wrong. He was fucking amazing. But the best part was the chief of police's daughter.
Oh, yeah?
The little girl.
Yep.
I don't know how little the little girl is in, like, the movie version. I assume there's a movie version.
I don't remember this character.
This little girl looked like she was 5.
Mm-hmm.
Behaved like she was probably about 7. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing she was somewhere
in that swing.
But the way she, like, I did, and she was tiny even for 5. Yep. Like, she was just a slip of a thing. She had so much fucking attitude. It was amazing. when Doofy Farm Boy is like, yeah, I'm here for your daughter, blah, 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 whatever. And he's like, really? And she comes out and she goes, hi, Tiger. And you're like, holy shit, that's the best and most adorable thing I have ever seen. And she was just spot fucking on. Not only that, though, so she had all of that attitude and the character, but she was also involved with all of the dance scenes. She's a better dancer than I am.
Oh, nice.
Like, straight up. Like, she was still, like, 5-year-old body awareness.
Sure.
But she just had all of her arms in the right spaces at the right times. And this little girl, every time she did anything, I was just dropping eggs. And, like, oh, she was so fantastic. She fucking killed me. Like, sweet. She was just amazing. So, yeah, I got to see that.
State Fair was one of the ones I enjoyed of Roger and Hammerstein.
Yeah, I mean, I like them all. They're all a bit fluffy, and that's especially
some are,
fine.
Some are better than others.
I mean, right now that's kind of what people want.
South Pacific is a really good one.
Yeah,
Carousel is.
But they all have a certain amount of fluff, which when you're looking for it, goddamn, they do it well. Yeah. So have at.
We saw Oklahoma. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was originally South Dakota. Brothers,
White Christmas. What?
South Dakota, where nothing ever happens at all.
No, but the original no lyrics one lives were here, South
and
and then they changed it at the last minute to Oklahoma.
Oh.
Because it's easier to spell in song?
Also because they've got that Oklahoma, O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, Oklahoma, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the original lyrics were South Dakota.
Nice.
Huh. A little bit of trivia there for you folks.
Whoa, learning on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we did that. And then Friday I did vilification tennis. With my daughter. Only like every other time I've done vilification tennis with my daughter, I was partnered with my daughter.
Right. Yeah, how was it being in front of the gun?
Oh, God, that sucked.
Yeah.
Like, James, I almost feel something vaguely like sympathy for you.
Similar, too. Yeah.
No, I mean, she's... Fuck. And here's the thing. Like, so... in case we didn't keep up. So I was actually vilifying against my daughter on Friday. She is terrifying.
Yeah.
Except that I'm still the mom, which was an interesting dynamic to have on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I insulted my daughter's chest, which just felt awful inside.
Please tell me you started an insult with, your mother is so.
Yes.
Yes!
I did do one of those.
How easy it is to make that mistake?
No, I did it on purpose because it was specifically requested that I do by the director, and like sometimes I pretend to listen to him.
Man.
But I did.
Sometimes you hear him accidentally.
What I did was
sometimes he just sneaks up behind you and hits your fucking car,
rear ends me. Yeah, god damn it, that asshole. So anyway, no. But I didn't think that I could do a fat mom insult.
Right.
I just didn't think it would go well. Yeah, so no. I did. Your mom's so old. Your mom's so old, her nipples have rug burn. Which made everybody go, but it was still, like, weird enough. And then, like, I got to, like, grab my chest afterwards, which I've never done after that insult on stage. but, yeah, so, I mean, there were things to play there. But, yes, I did do a your mom insult against my daughter, which was just silly and delightful. I also grounded her.
Yeah.
And
was this after a particularly ribald or?
Yeah, it was at a point where she had dropped something that I knew was either going to get a point or that I would not be able to match because she's really fucking good at this. I don't know if you guys understand.
That's the word around the urinal.
It is. You'll need to tell that story at some point on this podcast. Sure. But it was one of those points where it was like, yep, this volley's done. Like, it's just, the point is going, or we're just going to drizzle off into whatever. So I grounded her and it was delightful. But yeah, she kicked my ass.
Yep.
Pretty solid. Like, I mean, I held my own somewhat, but God, that look that she gives.
Yep. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Now what?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where the fuck she got that from.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I may have shown her the idea, but she fucking perfected that shit. Sure. Oh, God. So, yeah. And Ville overall was really good. It was the Geek Show, which is always fantastic.
I didn't wholesale come up with any of the games, but I was involved with making some of them.
Oh, my God. My favorite was Dictionary.
That was the one that I think I contributed some to. Yeah.
We had comic book artist Chris Jones,
yes,
draws Batman, and Lauren Addy, who did Glorification Tennis pictures. It was Pictionary,
yep,
but all the words were dicks.
Yeah.
It was dick euphemisms, yep, and there was so much cock and balls on
dick
those pages.
Scenery.
Dick Grayson.
Yep. That was just fun. And at one point, here's the thing. Lauren, I know, was somewhat nervous about going on stage. Number one, she's not really a stage person.
Yeah.
She does visual art, drawing and whatever, stays behind. But she came up, she did her thing, she was fantastic. At one point during the show, she was challenged to draw Batman.
Because
Chris Jones draws Batman.
Sure.
And she fucking did it.
Nice.
And she even got the pecs in there. I'm just saying.
Nice.
Are we
talking about like 1990s rectangular Batman?
No, it was rounder.
Oh.
It was still kind of half.
So it was like
square,
Batman the
nice
Brave and the Bold.
Yes, actually. Oh. Very much so like that. Nice. But yeah, she fucking did it. She did it real quick and she did it real well.
Awesome.
So I was super
so
proud of her. I can't remember the other games.
No, she's a stupendous talent.
Oh God, yeah. Mm-hmm. She was an absolute pleasure to share a stage with.
Yeah.
So.
I was super pleased when that idea was coming together with the suggestions that everybody had.
It was good. It was good. It was real good.
Cool.
Got to roll a giant 20-sided die. That was fun. Fucking, I love that thing exists.
Yeah.
Like this 20-sider, you guys listening, it's like a foot and a half, 2 feet.
Oh,
somewhere in there.
Because
like,
we were talking about rolling a giant die, but I had no idea what they were going to end up getting.
Oh no, this is a thing that exists. It's existed for a while. We actually did.
Oh.
I can't remember if this particular die is the one that we stole from Lori. So two
there
possibilities.
Might be a blood feud.
For a while, though. We've played Glorification D&D before.
Yeah. Aww. I think this one does belong to Ville, although I know that before Ville had a die, and I don't know if we got it from Lori or we got the idea from Lori or they both just kind of happened, but hers happened first. She actually came up with some giant dice about the same size and played D&D at the Renaissance Festival.
Oh.
And she
had
both people playing the characters and then players playing the players playing the characters.
Yeah, that's
I got to be a player playing the player.
Oh, we got to be NPCs.
Yeah, yeah. And we went around. We went to like Riddle Booth and like other.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was fantastic.
The players encountered a band of gypsies and traded items. them.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, sidetrack for dice,
but I feel like that's an appropriate one. Yeah, absolutely.
Also,
we haven't sidetracked ever on anything else.
Never.
I know.
It's totally not our jam.
The rest of my weekend was full of fringe rehearsals. We'll talk about that stuff later. I had one more thing, and I can't remember what it was, so it must not have been that important.
Cool.
Oh, that means that the people who helped you out with that or were involved with that are going to be just heartbroken to hear you say that.
I know.
Well, that's you're a monster.
Well, I mean, I am that. That's thought most people knew. Yeah. No, oh, Oh, I do have one bit. I'm incredibly jealous of my daughter. She got to see Atomic Blonde without me.
Oh,
the little shit.
That one does look good.
Oh, yep. My God. I'm like, how was it? She's like, it was amazing. And all these things were amazing. And I can't tell you about any of it.
Yep.
And that sucks. You need to go see it so we can talk about all the amazing things that happened in this film.
Get to it. You know, you don't have plans all the rest of the time.
I was about to say, I'm booked for like the next 3 months, kid. What the fuck? Yeah.
I was not able to go to the Vilification Tennis Show because I was in Wisconsin.
What's out there, like running the Glen or something?
Yeah, I was doing a Renaissance Festival. Swallowing the Swords.
Yeah.
Fun little festival.
How was the weather?
The weather was pretty good. It was low to mid 80s both days. But it was hot. It was real hot. Not a lot of cloud cover. Not a lot of breeze. It just kind of baked. And I've definitely had hotter days.
You said you learned something?
But this one was pretty warm. And that festival has grown up a lot in the, 7 years that it's been around?
About there-ish, yeah.
Like, it is really fleshed out a lot. This year they put in 2 new stages.
Ooh!
Like, the place is expanding. There's a lot more booths there. There's a lot more performers there. There's a lot more just everything going on. You know, that's really fleshed out. The place is becoming quite the little festival. I'm really happy with watching it go from gear one to where it's at now.
Nice.
And this was the first trip that I got to try out the new camper.
Yeah.
And
how was it?
That's an interesting thing.
How much
did I talk about that last week?
You talked about the maximum speed.
Yeah, okay.
The maximum speed and the fuel thinger.
Okay,
there was a fuel thinger.
Yeah. This thing is an 87 Granville, and it tops out at 55, and it gets like 12 miles to the gallon, and it's not great, but it was so nice to have, because I got there and I didn't have to set up a tent. I didn't have to, you know, do any of that. Like, I got there and I parked and I was
tents up.
Done. Like, it was just like, I put the thing, turned off the engine, put the parking brake on, and went, and I'm here.
Ta-da! Like
that was it. And I grabbed a beer out of the cool fridge, and I walked and went and hung out with people. Like, that was
it. You were watching people set up tents, and you're like,
that was just it. And the same thing with the other way back. You know, it was
sure.
on Sunday afternoon. Festival closes, go back to the camper, strip off my sweaty clothes, put on real clothes, and got in the cab and drove home.
Right.
Like, that was just that was it.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah.
And so that,
way to be.
That part of it, super, super nice. Like, holy cow. I cooked eggs both mornings for breakfast.
Oh, you son.
Like, I just crawled out of bed and walked over to the stove and cracked some eggs into the stove and cooked eggs in the morning in my cast iron skillet. And
dang.
Yeah, it was great. And so, yeah, I love that aspect of it. I wish it had a better engine. Yeah. Cause that thing was straining. Pretty straining.
I'm telling you, man, Jado, you gotta get some rockets. Well,
I guess I actually, James, I talked to my father after we had our conversation earlier today, and this actually has a new transmission in it.
So
the overdrive button that we were talking about earlier actually doesn't do anything at all. It's not connected to anything. It's just because it has a new transmission, but it's still
wonder if
it's still just a four cylinder, you know.
Sure.
It's not a strong engine. It just unless I put a much bigger engine in there.
We should load it with a supercharger and fins.
Nitrous. Can you guys
flame decals?
Can you describe this in computer terms for this? Nuts. Are we talking about the CPU or are we talking about like more RAM or what?
Super cooled and also with rockets.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, is it like LED lights? One of those, James actually did suggest
painting flames on the side.
He's saying that the CPU and the RAM are insufficient for the game that he wants to play, and that it drops the frame rate during the game, and sometimes crashes.
Okay.
And he's already got it overclocked. And
is the transmission
suggestion,
like the RAM then? Because that got replaced and upgraded, but there's only so much that the CPU can do.
Okay. So my suggestion, and
his suggestion is to add rockets.
The overdrive button doesn't.
I'm sure that
the overdrive button doesn't connect to anything. So it's like the turbo button on the computer cases in the 1980s.
Yes.
So the
I remember those.
Right. So my suggestion is that he add decals, a window, and some cool LED lighting
in order to make it faster. What about like the tube coolant?
Right.
Like
water cooling loops.
But,
the problem is I'm trying to play Skyrim
on a computer running Windows 3.5.
Right.
Like that's what's going on here.
OS 2 Warp pixels with the Windows 3.1.1 emulator. Yeah.
Yeah. But
thank you.
But
yeah.
This makes sense now.
Does it?
But back to the. But honestly, back to the festival.
I'm sidetracking for a second. When I worked help desk for the Academic Health Center, repairing doctors' computers.
Sure.
That was how I had to do it. I had to explain computers in human being terms.
Yeah.
They're like, well, can't you just fix the hard drive? I'm like, that's kind of like the brain.
Right.
Like, if that's gone. I can't, and they're like, "Oh, so like, and you know, I talked about the nervous system, and like,
yeah.
I taught my students
about the different parts of the computer. I said, you know, pretend that this is a human body, and
exactly,
you know, what things does a human body do? And I would have them list, you know, the five senses and eating and drinking and all of these other things, mm-hmm. and then we would relate that to things that the computer can do.
Yeah.
And the different body parts that would be required for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I actually love the equating something to something else to help with understanding. It's fantastic. So anyway, now I'm done. Okay. Go ahead back to your little run fair thing.
Yeah, no.
Shit. The weather was hot, but she's ice cold, folks.
No, I learned something.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
First off, I crispied myself real good on Sunday. On Saturday. It was my last show of the day, and I was getting a little improv-y and creative.
Okay.
And,
sun-drunk. Okay.
A little bit. I had a fireball roll past my face.
Oh.
My sideburns got crispy. Mm. Like, it was... Flames on the side of my face. It was
okay. The flames were supposed to go on the side of the camper, not your face.
Right,
James was
right. We're not making you go
specific.
Faster. I do. I understand
about
that.
I had a pretty scary blowback hit me in the face. So I lost some facial hair. But no, the real thing.
Yeah,
that,
you only look like mildly sunburned.
Yeah,
that,
I mean,
so.
I showered and scraped off most of the crispy
but that's
hair.
Just fire
oh
stuff.
Wow, that was a weird reaction. Just the idea of somebody like with like their fingernails or a Brillo pad just like
No,
singed hair.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
my
much,
God.
That's not nearly
what
as bad.
What are you doing?
Now you know why I had that reaction.
Yeah, what
that's
the fuck
disgusting.
Is wrong with you? What the fuck is wrong with you? I just...
He's not the one that did that, James.
I just
James.
Scraped
don't,
off
you were
all
not
the singed
specific.
Hair.
Okay.
Flames
okay.
on the side of the camper.
No, because you were just talking about sunburn, and then he was like, no.
Okay.
I thought that was his response.
Anyway. Oh,
God.
But on Sunday again, so here I am. The stage I'm on is in direct sunlight. There's no shade, and
except what his audience is throwing.
My audience love me. Fuck you. I had my prop case. I had my prop case open in front of me.
Yeah.
And
all the tomatoes they can eat.
And I'm doing, you know, my thing. And so my show is about half hour. So I get to the last end of my show where I'm going to swallow the sword. And I pick up the sword. which has been laying in my open case.
Oh my God, in the sun?
In direct sunlight.
Oh, sweetie.
For half an hour.
Oh. Yep.
And I picked it up and I actually had to juggle it between my hands because it was so hot. And then I went, I've got to fucking swallow this now.
Yep. It's a combination of those two stupid things that people do. The first thing where you go to grab the seatbelt in the car and you go, oh shit! And you try to like pass it back and forth between your hands until it's clipped in.
Yeah.
And you don't have to touch it anymore because the interior of the car is too hot. And then that other dumb, like super dumb human instinct that we have where
you grab down your throat. Yes, right. It's exactly like
you grab a pizza roll and it's too hot to hold on to. So you're like, I need to get this into my mouth and eat it.
Was not pleasant.
No. Yeah, oh, honey, no.
No, it was warm. It was very warm. From that point on, every show that I did, I closed my case.
Mm-mm.
Every time I went to get a new prop, it was
and he sprays them down with Pam first to make sure that they don't stick to the meat.
Oh my God!
He can be taught.
No, it was that was. Have you ever what? Like
yeah,
I love
not just sipped but like thrown back a really hot cup of coffee.
Yep,
it's kind of like that.
Yep.
Yeah, it was warm.
Yeah.
So not gonna do that.
So lesson learned is what you're saying. Yeah. Lesson fucking learned.
One of my favorite things to do is eat McDonald's French fries like,
nope,
as hot as possible, as hot as possible. Mm-mm. Like there is a perfect temperature where it's just barely cool enough to eat. And I imagine it's like that.
Probably.
Pizza rolls. Yeah. Pizza rolls, I'm with pizza rolls.
I think pizza rolls and jalapeno poppers. Cheese is really...
Yeah. Yeah. Anything with
molten
cheese.
I can't have cheese, you...
Anyway. All right. And we should take a break on that.
We love you.
When we come back, we'll talk about Fringe.
I don't actually eat salsa.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
The entire
and we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we are going to talk about something that you may have heard of, the Fringe Festival.
Oh my God, it starts this Thursday.
Raise your hand if you're in Fringe Festival.
See it. It's an audio.
That is two people raising their hands because I'm smart enough to not do that shit.
Yeah.
Does the audience count? Are you going to go watch?
I'm not going to have the time.
That's fair.
Nor the money. Because I is
also
dirt
fair.
Fucking po.
Yeah.
I mean, you know people.
I do know. But no, honestly, this happens every year. And I think once the kids are a little older, probably in 5 years, then I'll probably do Fringe a lot more.
Yeah.
But right now...
Yeah, I couldn't do any theater until Jessa was 5, 6. And then we did community theater together for a while. That was adorable.
But I mean, the next few weekends are... Weekends, I'm going to be out of town or various other stuff is happening.
Yeah.
And weekdays...
Weekdays with kids and
things like
work
that. I've just kind of made peace with the fact that I'm not going to be part of that for the foreseeable future, and then someday we'll see what happens.
Somebody said, oh, you know, I've got a spare a comp because I want people to come and see the opening weekend. I come and see this thing, and I'll give this to you right away so that you can go and watch an entire day of shows.
Yes.
And my response was, I fucking can't.
Yeah.
I fucking can't.
Well, I'm doing all of the Fringe. Everybody in the Fringe. It's a line. I don't even know where I came from with that. I'm just doing the Fringe.
Yeah.
I have
down to... from 6 or 7 shows only a few years ago to only what, 3 this
Two.
Year?
Two.
Two. Oh.
Two this year.
Really reining it back.
It's a light year for me.
Yeah.
it goes really fast.
Maybe this segment will not be 4 hours long.
I don't know. Have you met us?
All right.
We're going to dissect this frog.
First show. That I'm going to talk about is called Serpentine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a Pabel show. Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe.
Yes.
Philip has a dark and twisted mind.
He has a unique voice.
That makes him absolutely perfect for writing Greek tragedy. I like this is what he was meant to write. And here's the thing. Philip just wrote it.
Yeah.
He's not directing. He wrote and produced, but he's not directing. He's not in it.
Sure.
So this is my first time doing a Pablo show where he's not like directly involved. Like I haven't seen him at any rehearsals or anything like that. Like, but I also haven't been to a lot of rehearsals because what I'm doing for it is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
The show itself is the story of Tiresias. Or Tiresias or Tiresias.
I've heard that the pronunciation changes
depending on who's saying it. Yeah. But for those that don't know, Tiresias was the prophet, oracle type person that was both male and female, depending on what time period throughout their life that you found them. And for me, it's not really addressed wholly in the show that I'm aware of. Because I haven't even seen the entire thing. I'm really excited to see all of it.
Yeah.
There's when we talk about gender identity, you think about they were born male and identified as male, and then suddenly they're given female parts. But it's never talked about if they identified as female when they had the female parts or not. Like it's not really a part of. The story was he a dude that suddenly had female genitalia but still a dude, you know?
Right.
And then later on, they were both had like male and female set. Like it's an interesting thing when you're trying to dissect and convey a person whose identity you only know by their genitals, but not the internal identity, right. You know?
There was a kind of an interesting stuff you missed in history class regarding, well, there have been a couple, but one in particular, and I'll have to look up the name and shoot a link to Salsa or something. But this person was raised female and then was persecuted for lesbianism and primarily wore men's clothing in order to transact business and to conduct themselves outside of the home. And there's no record of how they interacted when wearing men's clothing, if it was just a means to sort of blend in. There is
to navigate the social gender situation of the time.
It was kind of fascinating, and they said, you know, we would love to say this is what it is, but we don't even know if this person was just being persecuted for lesbianism or was actually a lesbian or was bisexual, and there's no real answer for it. Yeah, that kind of thing with that we have so much information about somebody in history, but not something as fundamental to their person as
and,
that.
Yeah. And yeah, and so when you present something like this, a work like this, and you're trying to stay true to the history, if not the individual, because you don't know the individual, but you're trying to stay as true to the character of the individual, but then there's bits like... It's a fascinating process, especially taking on someone that is somewhat reflective of current social issues, you know? the show itself is very lyrical. It's very adult. I would not. It's a Greek tragedy, and it is possibly one of the most Greek tragedies I have ever seen. Like, there is no holding back on this shit. Huh. It's not technically pornographic, like
sure.
But yeah, insinuation can do a fuck ton for you.
Catalina de Urraso, the Lieutenant Nun. So if you look up that the podcast,
all right,
that.
How long ago? What?
Oh, that's a good.
Because there is
July 10th.
Many of what year?
This year.
Okay.
July 10th of this year.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
so a very recent episode.
Super recent. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Those
so...
things go back to the 90s.
Yeah. And by the way, thank you to the amazing Lauren Haven for introducing me to this podcast.
Oh,
you were
God,
not
yeah.
familiar with?
No.
Oh.
No, this is brand new. It was because of the Night Witches.
Yeah.
Lauren introduced me to the podcast via the subject of the Night Witches.
Yes.
Which is a tremendous episode.
Yeah.
All of the stuff you missed, Network... is so oh. good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah.
There's How Stuff Works, and there's Stuff You Missed in History Class, and Stuff Your Mom Never Told You, and
so just, I'm familiar with two of these. Yeah.
There's this whole network that you
there was like
should
a
look into.
Food thing that was really... I was...
It's the How Stuff Works network, and you should
love this. Yeah.
Excellent.
So you were saying.
So anyway, so it is a Greek tragedy, but there are a couple of interstitial points for storytelling, more contemporary style storytelling. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is a very Greek tragedy. But you get some breaks.
Sure.
Which I think is good for current.
yeah.
And whatnot. Oof. So, yeah, so I'm doing storytelling for one of the interstitial points.
Nice.
But I still get to do a little bit of the Greek tragedy, like the chorusy, dancey stuff and things
Ooh.
Like that. Like, just a touch. And only surrounding my storytelling. So, yeah. I'm super excited about that. I am telling a story that fills me with trepidation. It's one of the more nervous, anxious... roles that I've done in recent years, because I am talking about my daughter, and they're navigating, I'm talking about my experiences, which is very important. I don't want to talk about her experiences. That's
right.
For her to talk about if she,
yeah.
you know, chooses.
Would you say it's Greek to you?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Okay, all right.
Oh,
that's my only joke
my
that I have about this.
No, it's not. No, don't lie to me, James. That hurts when you lie to me. No, so yeah, but trying to construct that story was probably one of the most intensive things I've done in a while.
Sure.
To make sure that I'm respecting my daughter and respecting
it's not as lighthearted as like the dictionary show.
Yeah,
or,
no.
Or
no.
Encyclopedia show.
Encyclopedia
Pardon
show.
Me. I saw you do that particular one that was about Jessa. The hospital visit.
Oh God, the ice. Yes. So like it is such a heavy subject matter that you want to be respectful of and informative, but it's not mine. You know?
Right.
Like my part of the story I can tell, but I can't tell. It's not my place to teach about transgender issues
right
from that perspective, you know. And
right.
it's not it. I have no desire to take my daughter's life and use her as an example of all this other stuff.
Except when you were on stage directly across her from her in Ville, you did want to take her life.
Well, yes, but that's satire. That's a totally different animal.
Fair, all right. Yeah.
I mean, to be real
goat.
About it, it is a very, very different theatrical situation.
Yes,
there.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So yeah, I am very nervous. I am proud but anxious on my piece, I think. I've gotten the people that are involved producing and directing think it's fantastic, so I'm gonna go with them and be like, okay, cool. So yeah, that is one of the shows that I am doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's playing at Strike Theater.
Yes.
Which I have not been to yet.
Oh.
I helped out some with the Kickstarter fundraiser type stuff and
We've
whatnot.
Been rehearsing in a walk-in cooler.
So, shit. But yeah.
Is that hitting too close to home?
I have no idea. I haven't been there. We have our tech tomorrow for it. So I still, as of this recording, have not been in that theater.
Sure.
So I'm about to find out. But yeah, I am really excited because I love the idea and concept of Strike Theater and what it is that they stand for. And although they are only a venue in the fringe, it is still a theater that I like. I respect.
Tell me more about this because I'm unfamiliar with Strike Theater.
Oh, Strike Theater is the brainchild of Allison Broering, Mike Fotis, and Joe Bozick.
Okay.
Who are
names
all pretty,
with whom
pretty
I'm
strong
familiar,
names?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or with which I'm familiar.
Preposition. Anyway. But they do a lot of storytelling, spoken word. Mike and Joe have also done like a lot of improv, like they did Brave New. They've done sketch and these other things. But Strike is very specifically focused on, or at least my understanding. Again, I haven't been anything there, but the spoken word and the storytelling and sketch and more of the writing processes and things like that. So. So yeah, and I believe they've had like Button Poetry and some other people come through, more national type people, showing up. I might be mistaken on that. I know that, I'm fairly confident they've hosted some national or less than local, more than local. I don't know. How do you,
depends on
regional, your scale, I guess. Yeah, perhaps. But names from out of town. How's
butt
that?
Butt names. Okay. Okay.
You're a butt name.
I am.
butt James. So, yeah. So, and the thing with the Fringe is that basically all these venues say, okay, Fringe, these are yours. Don't break anything. So it's not like anybody from Strike is directly involved with the Fringe stuff.
Right.
But the theater itself still exists in that you know, it's not a complete vacuum. Like,
right.
Still has those concepts, and that's what it's designed for.
The venue has a voice.
Exactly.
In whatever show. Yeah.
Mm.
Not that they get to say what takes place there, but, like...
Their presence is still a thing that exists around the show and can affect. So, just by being what they are, like... Doing a show in the Rarig Experimental is different than doing a show in the Rarig Thrust. Like, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I'm really excited for that. We are at Strike. Our first show is Friday.
She says with an audible question mark.
when we get to this point in Fringe, it's all about the calendar. Like, I'm just calendar, tell me what it is that I'm doing next.
Did you
look? Yes, Friday at 8:30.
Did you look for that, the calendar app that I showed you?
I got distracted.
Okay.
Hi, squirrel. Hey.
Vantage.
Vantage, right.
If Vantage is available, it's phenomenal for doing multiple shows and things like that. I downloaded it specifically for our 50-hour comedy marathon through Fearless because it shows you all of your appointments and, for me, all of my shows or all of my things at Convergence and things like that as a Guitar Hero style thing that just approaches, and it's amazing.
Yes. I'm a little nervous about that. Like, it's coming. It's coming.
Uh-huh.
It's coming. Mm-hmm. It's almost here. Oh, my God. It's so
baby.
Close.
Oh, baby.
Whoa. Oh, stop. Oh, ah!
I wasn't nervous about it before, but
now
so I am.
So close.
God damn it.
A little slower.
Oh.
Now a little faster.
Oh, no.
If this were really that thing, you'd be done by now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be getting a bar rag.
Oh, gross. Okay, so that's my first show.
Awesome.
Serpentine. That actually oddly
Holy
ties into Serpentine.
Crap.
Huh.
You're still only on show one?
Yeah. What, am I going way over?
Oh, no, it's just that's been 15 minutes on one show.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's a big show.
I don't know
also,
if
Also, I'm
knew.
An asshole.
To be fair.
Yeah, like, James is being distracting over
also,
here. He's going back.
That's me.
So the other show that I'm involved with is a show called The Tragedy of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ah, yes.
This is an absolutely fantastic premise. I enjoy that immensely. What if Obi-Wan was the bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. And
And the talent attached to it.
Oh, God, there's some phenomenal people attached
to it. The lovely and talented Nathan Gerber.
Yes. Matthew Kesson doing his voice thing, because fuck yeah.
Yes, the lovely and talented Matthew Kesson.
There's some other pretty good names. Matthew Sachs, mm-hmm. Well-known around town. He is Palpatine, and he is amazing.
It's beautiful.
I can't even. I can't even go through everybody. Some of the people I've worked with before, some of the people it's been a delight to work with.
Awesome.
I have done the fight choreography for it, because when the producer came up to me, do you come up to somebody on Facebook Messenger? I don't know. When he shot me a message saying...
I mean, the message window pops up.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay.
The notification comes up.
All right. So when he came up to me, or his notification came up to me. anyway, he was like, so somebody recommended you as a fight choreographer and Tragedy of Obi-Wan. And I'm like, lightsabers. And that's honestly, like, anything else, any other consideration aside, I've done fight choreography for Highlander the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
I've done Renaissance Festival fight choreo. I've done... some other nerdy things here and there. I did a horse historical piece, right? I have done...
Nerdy.
Right. I did the fight choreo for the most recent Klingon Christmas Carol, so I got to do Batleths.
Which was fantastic.
And I was like, I have not yet done Star Wars choreo, and shit damn do I need to get this on my resume.
Mm.
Like, because I feel like it just rounds out the nerd choreo for me. So, yeah, that's been, choreographing for lightsabers. Let me tell you what. When you choreograph for a fight, you are choreographing for realism.
Yeah.
Which is often, like, what is the shortest way to get from here to there kind of stuff. You don't want a lot of superfluous movement.
Right.
That is not true for lightsabers at all. I'm like, all right, I'm going to teach you all how to moulinet. And then just do that a lot, and every once in a while we're going to
hit those in the audience, like me, who have no idea what that word is.
Moulinet is basically where you swing the sword around you.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
and then Indiana Jones shoots you.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's essentially that, yeah.
All right.
I mean, a moulinet is one portion of that, but there's a lot of that in this.
It's like kibitzing with swords.
Yes, actually, very much so.
All right.
Well done. Especially since one of my performers, Joe Allen, who has done fight stuff before, mm-hmm. he's my fight captain. When I couldn't be there, he was there to make sure nobody died.
Good.
It's not like
they for real.
Bleed not out. Nobody... It's like a, you know, lightsaber's cauterized, right?
Yeah, that's why Darth Maul didn't die, and he was able to appear in
it cooks
anymore.
As it cuts.
Mm-hmm.
You said it and forget it. It's the Ron Popeil.
Yeah, exactly.
Julianomatic.
That's why in the Clone Wars, Darth Maul is alive, is because it caught her ice.
Makes Moulinet fries.
That is Julianne. Never mind.
Julianne Moore.
I got it. I'm caught up. When you're teaching, right. Everybody has their own unique skills and difficulties, right?
Fries.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The problem with Joe is that he's done a lot of stage combat, so he's really good, and he instinctually knows where everything's supposed to go.
Ah.
So when you're doing a stage fight that is all flash and no actual, like...
Sure.
I mean, and we did add threat in there. Like, I was like, okay, look. Yes, I'm going to pay tribute to it, but this isn't going to be like the dumb swishy, 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 swishy thrust. Like, we're not doing that. We're not hitting swords for the sake of hitting swords.
Yeah.
They will be attacked. But to say, if you're going to, you know, say you're blocking your left shoulder, then your right shoulder. It's really easy to go, I'm going to this shoulder, and then I'm going to this shoulder. Like, just, it's a straight line.
Sure.
Unless
it's not very lightsaber of you.
Right, unless you're in Star Wars, right. In which case it's I'm going here. Now I'm going to whip this goddamn sword around my body and take the longest way possible to get to this other shoulder.
Right.
Giggity?
I mean, kind of.
Okay.
So anyway, so yeah, that has been the adventures in fight choreo for the show itself. The only thing I will say, we did have tech this past Sunday for it.
Oh, yes?
And number one, we're in the Rarig Arena, which... is delightful. They have light up stairs that look like the inside of the. No. Okay, I'm not gonna. You got to see it. You got to see it to witness it. But it just added an extra element of holy shit. Here we are, which was delightful. Also, the director and the fighters and I worked on how much lighting they actually need to do their fights.
Oh,
because they have light up lightsabers.
Yes.
So I believe we've figured out with the lighting and everything else, it looks fucking cool. I basically didn't need to be there. They could have just done a rave and it would have been awesome. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, that happened. I'm really happy with the work the kids have done on those fights. The story itself, like I said, it is both funny and sad. There's comedy and there is tragedy. It's fairly lighthearted. It does not take itself overly seriously, which is a thing I enjoy, but its serious moments are serious. So
good.
That's cool.
I often find that the mixture of comedy and serious emotion, sort of makes both more poignant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are certain character speeches that are just phenomenal. We get there are a few little side things where it's kind of like the problem is that if I call it fan fiction, there are connotations
that, it's entirely
that go
accurate.
All over the place.
Right.
But, I mean, technically speaking, there is a very fan fiction element to it where there is rebuild and or addition to the universe. There's reinterpretation of the universe. And some of the reinterpretation of that universe is absolutely fantastic. You know, we see the Star Wars trilogy, the actual one, from our perspective.
Sure.
And the perspectives that the characters have in this develop a world where there's an awful lot of background stuff going on. And it's just fun.
Which can be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Tragedy of Obi-Wan Kenobi. That is...
It's kind of like the Shadow of the Hegemon... for Ender's Game.
What?
No? Is that not...
I've read Ender's Game.
It's kind of like the Frasier to the trilogy's Cheers?
Yes, I understand that one.
Okay,
like that.
Okay.
I don't... I'm bad at things.
No, it's okay.
I don't understand... references or
she doesn't understand things.
I don't understand things.
What are you involved in, James?
As far as Fringe, I'm in the audience. Saw a lot. There's a new like a Nordic myth that somebody just created a whole cloth, and it looks phenomenal. It has all of the earmarks of the kind of storytelling that I really enjoy, the scale of the mythos, that I'm super super into stories, and especially fairy tales and myths. So this is an enormous thing for me. Also, somebody a one man show where he reenacts the entirety of the first season of Stranger Things, which sounded interesting, but then the 3 minutes already had me laughing, which I understand is a thing that happens.
What?
But I was already laughing. Obviously, Duck Washington, Blackout Improv. This will be my second time seeing them. I'm excited.
Yes.
So I'm going to make a point of going to see them. Because they're on Fridays, and my Fridays and my Wednesdays are usually a little messed up, but I will also be making a point of trying to see them more on Fridays.
Right.
But, yeah, yeah. And then we know quite a lot of people who are in
indeed
things. Waiting for Gygax is another one.
Yep. Well, if you go to the Fearless Comedy Productions website, you'll see a list of all of the people in Fearless that have shows, including Absurd Advice featuring Kelvin Hatley.
Yeah.
Blackout Improv featuring Duck Washington. Death in Yosemite, written by Tim and featuring Jason Kruger, Tim Wicht, and featuring Jason Kruger, Don Krasnowski, and Wendy Bowlesby.
Yes.
Yep.
And the preview for that was phenomenal.
Facebook Lite, which was co-written by Nancy Magistad, directed by Becky Schmidt, and featuring Aidan Milligan and Jesse Goines. Katie versus the Devils, that features Tim Wicht. Serpentines, somebody's in that.
Nobody likes her.
The Summoning, written by Megan Slauson, directed by Eric Thompson, featuring Michael Bloom, Angela Fox, and Lauren Haven. The Tragedy of Obi-Wan Kenobi, which we've already talked about with Jenna.
Yes.
It's got Nathan Gerber and Matthew Kissen in there. The Well, which has been much talked about.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Co-directed by Matt. Stage managed by Andrea Ropa.
May he rest in peace.
Featuring Dan
May Matt
Patton,
rest in peace. And also, Andrea is super, super amazing, so I'm excited.
Wait, who's in that again? I couldn't hear. Stage managed by Andrea, featuring Dan Patton and Lana Rosario.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
This, honestly, is the one that I am going to try to find a night to go to.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I know that finding a night is not going to be easy, and it doesn't always happen. There are so many Fearless productions I've missed, but this one I really, really, really do want to see. And as mentioned, Waiting for Gygax, co-written and directed by Kyle Decker. These are all of the shows that feature people that are in Fearless Comedy Productions. Go to the Fearless Comedy website for
Jesus
more
Christ,
information.
There's a lot of us.
I know that.
Holy
just keep it bigger.
Did you Jim Lewis
virus.
Posted like I'm trying to see all of the shows that were in a very Jim Lewis way, he had a
spreadsheet.
An Excel spreadsheet.
Love it. Oh God. he's so delightful.
I love that man.
And what I also love though, and I will say this for any listeners that are local, get to the shows early.
Yes.
If you are going very specifically to support a show, get there early. The earlier you go and write a review, holy shit, write a review. Mm-hmm. And be honest in the review, but write a review because the more reviews, the more buzz gets out, the more people show up.
Absolutely.
I cannot stress enough how incredibly helpful it is for people to come and see the first and second shows. It is everything to a fringe artist.
Yeah.
So, go do that. I love that Jim's little spreadsheet was like within the first couple days he got everybody once.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, God damn, dude, you are on top of this shit.
Yep.
Yeah, no, he's got his shit together way more than me.
Way more than the rest of Fearless. Yeah. He basically keeps us afloat.
What do you say we take a break?
Okay.
Bum ba bum bum ba dum bum ba dum ba dum ba dum bum.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And it is time now for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
And as everybody already knows how this works, we won't spend too much time on it. But for those of you who don't know, we get one email that says, here's your choices. You get five of them, and you get to choose between two options.
You said that awkwardly.
And then you have to decide which ones you like. And
it makes it sound like we get to pick between five different
options.
This is
like a five-year-old telling you what was on the TV.
And then the crab went over to the mermaid and said, you can't go over there. And the mermaid said, but I really want to because he's dreamy. And then the fish said, but just help. I'm going to help. And And then she said, but I want to. And then her dad said, no, you can't do that. So she went to the witch.
Coke or Pepsi.
And the witch said, yes. We get one email that has five questions. Each question has two options. We choose which one we like more. And then we open up the second email and find out if we like what we liked before.
Who is right?
The second email having the context. Dead.
We're just going to do it. How's that sound?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
You'll catch on at home.
As mentioned last time around, we have completely wiped the slate clean and started fresh. And our first new email comes to us from somebody you may have heard before, Mr. Mudd.
Yeah.
Hey, Mudd.
Mudd Stuffin.
Like that guy.
Question number one.
His wife's better, though.
The lovely and talented Mudd Stuffin.
Yeah.
Question number one. Fight your way through a zombie horde. Or fight your way through a crowd at a Justin Bieber concert.
Which one's scarier? I'm gonna go Bieber.
I think it would be a lot more fun to kill the Justin Bieber people.
Oh, I was gonna say zombies because then you can throw elbows with a clear conscience.
Right.
I think you can throw elbows with a clear conscience at a Bieber concert.
Oh, also, if you're going to the bathroom at a Bieber concert, chances are pretty good that you and I wouldn't have a lot of crowd to fight through.
I mean, there's the... Aw. I mean... God damn it.
A little, but... So I think it's mostly going to be the other bathroom that's full.
Honestly, okay. I would go to a Justin Bieber concert just so that there was a possibility that I'd be one of the taller people there. What?
Question number two.
I'm short.
Fight your way through a zombie horde.
Sure.
Or a 10-day full Catholic mass. I'm going to go with Zombie Horde.
Huh.
Because at least I wouldn't be bored.
Well, I mean, they both have the undead.
And they're both... the Zombie Horde is much less boring.
But the difference is the Zombie Horde is trying to eat you, where Jesus is trying to get you to eat him.
Man, here's the thing. Like, I love my Jesus. Like, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I follow him on Twitter.
Like this?
Right? No.
God, that joke.
Okay, number one, Catholicism.
Wow.
It is a very old, oldish belief system with some very beautiful things that can happen during a mass. But... 10 days. It's the 10 days that's really the sticking point for me.
I think
attend a.
Not a 10 day.
I heard a 10 day.
Yeah, I think this is Salsa's enunciation. Oh,
okay. Salsa, I think this talk is better.
Attend a full Catholic mass.
Oh, I've done that. It's not that bad.
Like attend.
I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would rather fight my way through a zombie horde.
That was actually when I discovered that my particular sect of Christianity had been excommunicated, and I was not allowed to take Catholic.
My aunt and uncle had brought me for Christmas mass 1 year, and they were like, just go up anyway. I'm like, I'm actually not going to, because
it's gonna be real embarrassing when that wafer bursts into flames in my mouth.
Well,
they touch it before they put it on your tongue. And
it's not even any of that. It was just like, this is what this particular building does. Like, I've been to some Catholic places where they're like, yeah, whatever, come on up. But when the guy was very specifically, only those that have gone through blah, 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 I'm like, cool, I'm out. Because it's not my place, and I'm cool with that.
Nope.
Fuck it. There are some very, very beautiful moments that happen
in
a Catholic
mass. Steeped in tradition.
And gorgeous music.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Also, I really like the smell of incense.
Beautiful
it's
churches.
It's more of a hippie thing for me, like, you know, Nag Champa or whatever, but you know, like, incense is cool.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that I enjoy.
Excuse me, Padre, have you ever thought about sandalwood?
Oh, that's... God, yes. Love me. Like, vanilla sandalwood, a little bit of musk in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, I would probably attend a Catholic mass.
Okay.
It kind of depends on my emotional state. Like, if I really need to get some aggression out, fuck yeah, zombie horde. But...
Cool.
Yeah.
Question number three. Live in a world filled with zombies or live in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Zombies.
Oh.
I can't have dairy. Fuck that zombies. State. I can't have dairy. I don't like beer.
That's right. But the national parks there are fucking gorgeous. Two, duck boats. Three.
Duck boats?
Duck boats.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Dells is what he's talking about.
In general, like duck boats. Yeah. It's an amphibious
that's not
vehicle.
Just a Dells thing?
No.
Scott Walker.
Yeah.
Rural Wisconsin Texas Ranger. Republicans.
Right, but you want to know how that happens? People like us don't live there. That's the problem.
There's a reason for that.
So the but they also have the House on
the
Rock,
Texas of the North.
Oh shit.
Ah,
which is a place for tourists, not for residents.
I mean, I'd probably still go. I'd live there. I'd be a resident there. Have you seen the inside of the house?
I am so desperate to go there.
Full of books and shit. It's amazing.
So desperate.
Yeah.
So desperate.
Speaking of field trips,
it's a place you visit. All right. It's not a place you live next to.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I guess. But Wisconsin is legitimately beautiful.
Look, have you ever seen a really hot chick? And you're like, damn, that's a hot chick. And then she opens her mouth and you're like, nope, never mind. That's kind of how I feel about Wisconsin.
Look. My wife is a...
Whoa. This is not a continuation of what was just said.
No.
I am clarifying for the home audience.
Shut up. My wife is a teacher. And Wisconsin doesn't like teachers very much.
That's true. That's... Yeah.
So... Fuck Wisconsin.
I mean, there is that.
I honestly
feel like
when her entire livelihood is treated like a third class citizen.
Yeah, that is
fuck Wisconsin.
That is fucked up. But I mean, they're frowning at her and not trying to eat her to death.
Look, at least the zombies discriminate equally. Mm-hmm.
And you can shoot the zombies in the face.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, shooting Scott Walker in the face would lead to consequences.
Not if you did it right. I'm not advocating that anybody should shoot Scott Walker in the face.
No, I'm not. That's not a thing.
That's not what we're saying.
No.
Want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
But you can shoot the zombies in the face.
Yeah.
Nope. I'd still go Wisconsin.
Mountain or island?
Oh.
Island.
I would escape a zombie outbreak on an island.
Yeah.
See, the mountain is not really an escape.
No.
Because you're talking about a tireless force.
Here's the question. Can zombies, move underwater?
Well, that's the eternal question. I personally think zombies float and don't get enough traction.
I mean, it seems likely.
And
they
then
get
they'll
all,
just
like,
be pulled around
bloated
by currents.
Yeah.
Hmm. Possible.
But
you,
I don't
you'll
think...
occasionally get the occasional detritus zombie.
Right.
Ugh.
But
gross. But also, I don't think zombies can climb well.
They're not going to be
about the Romero slow zombies, or if we're talking about the quick zombies. And
yeah.
I'm just picturing slow zombies throughout because those are real.
As
zombies.
Am I. Though, I mean, quick zombies.
I mean, honestly, that's how most people picture the zombie apocalypse because it suits them.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
But I
besides.
There was an actual study done about whether or not a zombie apocalypse would actually be a thing, and the answer is no.
Yeah.
They analyzed quick and slow and everything.
Yeah.
And it was like, nope, that's just
there
not
were, there
zombie
were a couple
apocalypse
of things
aside,
it.
If there is a zombie apocalypse and I have to live somewhere, my own fucking island.
Yeah, I want an island.
That's very Bond villain.
I know, I'm just saying.
Oh my God, you guys, I realized the problem with an island. It's probably going to have coconuts.
Oh.
I can't live off the coconuts. I'll have to eat fish all the time or some shit.
Bananas too.
I can't have bananas either.
Okay, well, there's also palm.
I can't have tropical fruits, so that's kind of a bad thing for me in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Fish.
Papayas?
I don't know if I can have papayas.
I don't know.
I can have mangoes.
It doesn't say tropical island. It could be an island on the middle of the Mississippi River.
Yeah, it could be an island near Finland.
Yeah.
I don't know that there are. There are definitely islands near Finland, but
I want to be somewhere
the British
nice,
coast
though,
or something like. Or just I'm somewhere in the Caribbean. I don't
British
one
coast
of the key
island. I want one
island.
Of those.
Oh, key limes.
Ireland.
Yeah,
Ireland.
It's like the Isle of Wight or the Isle of Man or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway,
New Zealand. Okay.
No, New Zealand is already trying to kill people. Have you seen their animals?
Not as bad as Australia.
Not as bad as Australia, but they're still like kind of creepy.
Question number five, Ebola or zombie?
Zombie.
I'm more afraid of Ebola because
I mean I am like realistically, which would you rather have to face down? I'm gonna go zombie.
The thing is, I know that Ebola exists, and we have ways to prevent it from crossing specific barriers. We can create bleach moats and things. You can wear a suit that protects you.
I feel
you.
Like you could probably do the same with zombies.
I feel like when that virus is inhabiting a human frame that can cross that moat, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
you. That's
what are you filling
bad.
The moat with if it's a zombie?
Yeah.
Oh, there are things. A lie. Do a lie moat.
I'm going to go with Ebola.
The smell alone would make no. Oh God.
Yes. Right. And then we'll have Lutefisk later.
Yay, Lutefisk! All right.
Wow.
Let's get.
This is apparently that episode. All right.
Here's our context. Question number one: fight your way through a zombie horde, or fight your way through a crowded Justin Bieber concert. Which scenario do you feel you would kill more brain dead creatures at?
Ha.
As much as I like the joke, zombie
it's
horde.
Zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as here's the thing, as much hate as Justin Bieber gets from people, rightly or not rightly, the dude is actually legitimately talented.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen him pick up a guitar or a drum or any other instrument on the planet?
Yeah, like he might be a complete wanker, but
no. But I mean, he sings pop music that is bland and derivative, but that's not necessarily his fault. Like
it's his fault for being a dick.
He is also a dick. Don't get me wrong, but he's also extremely talented.
Yeah, I don't hate his music or hate his fans.
I don't think that he deserves as much hate as he gets.
I think he is a bit of a douche. Yeah, well,
don't get me wrong.
He's also a teenage boy,
but
and
also
they're the worst.
What teenage boys weren't douches? So
there's that. That is that's legitimate.
Question number two, fight your way through a zombie horde or attend a full Catholic mass. Which situation sounds worse? I gotta go Catholic mass. It's fucking terrible. I'm done with the Catholic mass.
I
mean, there are much like any...
I would rather go down fighting and having fun.
Much like any Christian denomination, it really kind of depends on the building itself. Each group does it differently. But
plus, you can sleep through mass.
That's a very good point. Good point.
As long as you don't snore too loud, you just balance your head on your hands and your elbows on your knees.
But yeah, no, there's some really pretty things that can happen during a Catholic mass. So
yeah, I think you can go into the church not during.
Yeah, mass. Have you ever gotten roadhead during a mass?
No.
You're having mass in the car?
Right?
No, I'm just, there is...
What?
No.
James?
Yes?
How do you... Did you drive your car into the church?
Right, like a drive-through church, like in Vegas.
Okay. Question number three. Live in a world full of zombies or live in Wisconsin? Which one would you rather live in? World with zombies.
Yeah.
All right.
Question number four. Mountain
and he
or
was
island.
Just in Wisconsin.
I know, right? I didn't live there. I performed
there.
There
was a camper.
Got the fuck out.
The camper was a prophylactic.
Mountain or island in zombie apocalypse? Which location would be easier to defend yourself? I gotta go island.
Yeah. Well.
I'm operating on the assumption that zombies cannot go. Zombies are going to be limited by bodies of water.
Yeah. Plus,
it's also really easy. Like, you've got a well-defined perimeter around an island.
Here's
like,
the other thing.
Regardless of whether or not they can actually get through water, you know the area you're protecting. Try to protect an entire mountain.
Mm-hmm. And if like, you are...
sight lines on an island,
If you are in one of the islands close to a pole, they will freeze before they can, even if they can swim, even if they can swim or walk underwater to you. I mean, they're still made out of flesh, and that flesh will freeze right. before they can reach you.
Walk underwater, and plus the fish will be huge. They're going
to
be too buoyant to have enough traction to walk underwater. The currents will sweep them away.
Yeah.
And I don't think a zombie has enough intelligence to know to get into the water upstream to purposefully float downstream. So I think it can happen. I think it would accidentally happen rarely, and then you can deal with it on a one-on-one basis.
Sure.
But I don't think they're intelligent enough to mount an attack.
See, this is why I think that Maxis needs to, which is now, I guess, defunct, whoever owns the Maxis properties, needs to re-release Sim Life or Sim City with a zombie defense mod.
Yes.
Somebody should be you. Do it.
Do it.
I'm pretty dumb.
You're a somebody, James.
I don't know that that's true.
Question number five.
Yes.
Ebola or zombie? This is a rather loaded question, Mud. Which outbreak would you rather infect Republicans with?
Whoa.
This is...
Ooh, zombie. Because that way we get survival of the fittest. The smarter ones are going to figure it out. And, that's about as far as I've thought through on that.
I'm going to go zombie because we wouldn't know the difference. Hey-o.
Oh.
Also, I am not going to say on air that I'm going to give a Republican Ebola. That is not going to happen.
You just did.
I said I wasn't going to.
Right, but that sound clip is now my ringtone.
Context.
All right, anyway.
Go ahead. No, I thought I had something
in there. That has been a Fast Five. If you have a Fast Five, go ahead and send two emails.
Please.
One with the questions and one with the context. Send those to salsa@aonpodcast.com. If you have never had one read on the air, which at this point, considering we have started over, is everyone except Mud, go ahead and send that in, and you will get jumped to the top of the queue. What else?
And if you show up in person, we'll definitely jump you.
We will give us booze, bribe us. We'll definitely put you at the front of the queue.
Yeah,
give us
love
a physical
bribes.
Copy. This episode has been brought to you, as always, by True Stone Coffee.
Ooh.
True Stone Coffee. Drink some.
Right.
Be happy.
I was about to say, I've been working from home a lot recently. And yeah, I just get to drink True Stone now. Mm-hmm. It's
wonderful
delightful.
People. Beautiful it's... coffee.
Beautiful people, wonderful coffee.
I mean that too.
All of the
these,
above.
These are all
yes,
completely
wonderful,
valid.
Beautiful people with beautiful, wonderful coffee.
Yes, that is their official
coffee
title.
That makes you go.
But no, honestly, their coffee is wonderful. Their merchandise is wonderful. Their cold press is wonderful. Their shirts are wonderful. Their tulip glasses are wonderful.
Their employees are wonderful.
Everything is wonderful about them. And
everything
if you go to their
wonderful.
Website, True Stone Coffee, and enter the promo code Apropos, then you can get 10% off.
Apropos.
Nope,
Apropos.
Thank you.
Apropos.
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 No.
Don't use that one.
That
doesn't actually work.
That one gets you 0% off. You
but Apropos will work.
Get 10% off of your order. Also, go to the Fringe Festival. Like we said, go see Serpentine.
Shit.
Support local arts.
If you know of a local artist and you're like, I wonder if they're doing a Fringe show, you can go to the Fringe. Fringefestival.org is the official website. Mm-hmm. They have a search thing. You can just search for their names.
Yep.
So even if you don't remember, oh, God, like Matt Alex was doing a thing. What was that?
Mm-hmm.
You can just search for his name and it'll tell you.
Yep, so. Fearless Comedy also, fearlesscomedyproductions.com also has a list of
They do have a list. I'm just saying, like, in general, it's a great way to find out, I was going to say this.
And like James
thing.
Said earlier, do leave a review if you do see a show.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
Jenna.
Whatever, we look alike.
Even if you're not.
It's the facial hair.
I wasn't paying
attention. I know.
We know.
That was like almost half an hour ago, and I forgot.
What did you have for dinner?
I don't remember.
He's like a goldfish, but dumber.
Is that why he's trapped in that bowl?
Your eyes are sparkling. But as Jenna said, go leave even if you're not a writer who's going to leave a flowery prose.
Yeah,
that
and
some
leave the
review
right
review
away.
Is. Yeah. Go as soon as
yes,
you get
please.
Home when it's still fresh in your mind. Go write that review, even if it's just too badly worded paragraphs, just get your feelings and emotions.
Even if it's
out
just
there.
The words "roll good" capitalized with exclamation points on both.
Roll good.
With a
roll
series, good. Series of roll exclamation good. Points, and the second to last one is a number one.
Yes.
Yes.
Anything else to mention?
I love you.
All right, then we're going to get out of your ear holes for another week. Ladies and gentlemen, we love you very much. On behalf of James, Jenna, and myself, have a good week and eat the fucking cake.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone! Microphone!
Also testing this microphone.